Well, it's certainly good to see everyone here today, and this is Christmas. I could tell you I'm hope that Santa Claus has been good to you, but I hope God's been good to you. Not so sure Santa Claus has been, but I know that God can be and will be if we allow him to. Marcus, good to see you today, and have some questions after church about a hamburger joint in Atlanta, so don't leave without seeing me. I only dream about hamburgers now after a heart attack, but at least I can ask you what it's like. All right. I'm going to ask you to find in your Bibles John, the first chapter, verses 1 through 14, and also Hebrews, the first chapter, verses 1 through 3, in a message that's entitled, Christmas is a Revelation of the Word. I want to say I've really enjoyed today. I enjoyed yesterday evening immensely, but I've enjoyed today. Haven't you? It's been really good. Amen? Thank you, Dwayne, for doing a great job this morning. Now, we're going to be in the last part of our Christmas series, and I've really enjoyed doing this series because we've not centered on gift-centered messages. We've centered on doctrinal things that is revealed from the Word of God. So we want to look in this sermon today. Christmas is a revelation of the Word of God. And we want to peer into the Scriptures and find out how that really fleshes out to us. So I want to remind you that biblically, the definition for the word revelation is an unveiling. So isn't that really what Christmas is about? Isn't it about God unveiling himself to us? I want to quote from Hebrews, the first chapter, verses 1 through 3, because they really give us a picture eternally of that Christmas message. The writer writes this, God, who at various times and various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, he has in these last days spoken by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things. Through him also he has made the worlds, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and the upholding of all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins by the word of his power, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now may God bless the reading of his word today. Friend, that is the way God has chosen to reveal himself, is through his one and only Son. And it started with us being able to see him as this little baby that grew into a man that one day would die on a cross and die for our sins and rise from that grave. All that says something about God. God is trying to speak to us. God is saying something to us about his love toward us. So today we're going to really focus on this Gospel of John, that first chapter, and we're going to look at how that which is eternal expressed himself, to just mere flesh and bone. So let's jump right into the text, find verse 14, John, the first chapter, and let's look at that verse, and I want you to underline one particular word in there. Now, you notice in verse 14, the first three words, and the word. Stop right there. Underline that word, and we're going to come back to it here in a little bit. It tells us, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Interesting enough, that word dwelt can mean to pitch a tent, to make a temporary dwelling. So get the picture here. The Bible's telling us that Jesus Christ became flesh because it was just a temporary dwelling. And listen, it continues on and says this, and we beheld his glory, the glory that is God, as glory as of the only begotten of God the Father, full of grace and truth. So I've asked you to underline that word. And it is used three other times in the verses that are before it. Three times that word is used, and the word is used in those first 14 verses. And it is the Greek word logos, which means to speak intelligently. It is the expression of intelligence. So God took on this form, he took on this temporary form that he might speak intelligently to us. Now that verse is really saying something to us. It's really saying something to us about life. Now I know the word life is not in that verse, but it is used precedingly twice in the verses before it this morning. So don't miss this picture. If you want to know what life is, you've got to look at Jesus Christ. The Word, that's Jesus. He was made flesh. He had this temporary dwelling. And this verse speaks to us about life. Someone has said this, and I think it's very true. The knowledge of God is the excuse me, the life is the knowledge of God this morning. Here's what I want to try to say with that. The Word became flesh. Isn't that what we want to try to focus on today? And I'm asking myself that question. We are trying to focus on that today. We call it Christmas, and God the Father used the mortal birth of His everlasting Son to show us how He knows how we are, that we need a Savior. He lives and He moves. The everlasting Word became the incarnate Word, and we're going to look at three different things this morning that shows us how Christmas is a revelation of the Word. So let's get going here, and let's look at our first point today. The mysteries of Christmas. Christmas is a mystery. Now, the word mystery, from a biblical standpoint, simply means a hidden truth. Now, think about this. There are some things that are hidden that are never meant to be seen, and sometimes those are for nefarious purposes. But here, there is something that has been hidden in plain sight to us. The Bible tells us, and the Word became flesh. What the Bible is telling us is that God's Son set aside His glory and became blood, became flesh like you and me. Hebrews, the second chapter, verses 9 says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with His glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, might taste of death for everyone." In this little town that's called Bethlehem, just a few miles outside of Jerusalem, Christ entered this world, not as some demigod that was half God and half man, but as a newborn baby that was all God and all man. The Bible tells us the Word became flesh and we beheld His glory. So let's look at some things here that we need to understand this morning. The first thing is the mystery of His beginning. Now, if you look at verses 1 and 2, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made." Twice the word "beginning" is used in those two verses. And John writes the Christmas story different than all the other Gospels because he starts with the eternal existence of our Savior, not His earthly appearance. Listen, Jesus put everything into existence and then He became flesh. The word "beginning" there is just used as a reference point for you and I. So before there was anything, there was the Word of God. Amen? You may remember something that I shared a few sermons back by my friend Dr. Robert Smith. He said this about the subject about Christ being before all things. This is what he says. "God came from nowhere because there was nowhere to come from. He then stood on nothing because there was nowhere to stand. He then took nothing and He flung it out to nowhere and He told it to stay there and to be something." When the Word became flesh, it was a reference point for you and I to have a visible reference toward God. He was before all things, and all means all. Not only was the Word before all things, the Bible tells us that all things consist by Him. There are those who would deny the deity of Jesus, and they miss these undeniable statements that are in this first chapter of John. Every instance, let's look at these verses here. Every instance is a reference point of Jesus Christ being before all things and all things because of Him. Look at verse 3. "In the beginning was the Word." And then look again in verse 4, I believe it says, "All things were made by Him. He was life," verse 8 and 9. "He is true light. The world was made by Him." And John the Baptist said, "He was before me." So we want to point out that Christ was not only before all things, He sustained all things. He was the sustainer of all things. We read in verse 3 that without Him, nothing was made. Friend, that little baby who grew to be a man and died for your sins upholds all things by the power of His Word. If we read back in Hebrews that first chapter, verse 3, everything consists by Him. Do you know that not only things exist and consist because of Him, He's also the revealer. He's the revealer of life. In Him was life. He revealed light. He gives us light, and He's the light that lights every man in a dark world if they're going to find light. And all wisdom and knowledge, He is the source of. In him is the source of all wisdom. Think about the things that we study here in this life. We'll look at biology and zoology and sociology. Well, friend, in biology, he is the last Adam. In zoology, he is the lion, the tribe of Judah. In sociology, he's the friend of the sinner. In psychology, he's the prince of peace. In numerology, he's the first and the last. Any ology that we can name, he is a part of that word because he sustains that word. Ology is just a transliteration of the Greek word logos, which we looked at already. So Christ is involved with everything because everything is here because of him. Amen? Now let's talk about the mystery of his becoming. Let's consider that statement again from John. The word became flesh. In other words, Christ went from one thing to another. That which was immortal became mortal. That which was eternal became terminal. Think about this. Most of us, when we consider a radical change in our life, we hope to improve our life. We hope to become something better, not something worse. When Jesus Christ became flesh, when he took upon himself humanity, he became something less. Remember what we've already shared from Hebrews, the second chapter, verse 6. He was made a little lower than the angels. The second man, as Paul calls him, he took on this deity. The deity took on this garment of clay, and he was very God and he was very man. Both man and both God. He walked like God and, he walked like man and he talked like God. Now look back at verse 14 at the phrase. It tells us he dwelt among us. You see, God has always wanted a relationship with us. And for him to be able to have a relationship with us after we severed that relationship, he had to take on human form and become one of us to buy back that relationship. And because Christ lived among men and did not sin, he was able to buy back that relationship. I can't make that claim. I can't make the claim that I have never sinned. I sin continually, but I have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. You see, Jesus Christ, he never shared in our sin. He was tempted in every point that we are tempted, and the Bible tells us that he sinned not. Amen? And think about this. He did not partake of our sin, but he was made sin for us. He was the bearer of our sin. Amen? Now let's look at the next thing here today, and we're going to look at the miracles of Christmas. We've talked about the mysteries of Christmas, these things that are hidden in plain sight right in front of us. Let's look at the miracles of Christmas, and that is the doctrine of the virgin birth. It's at the center of the Bible. Without it, the Bible means nothing. With it, the Bible means everything. Everything about the life and the work of Jesus Christ stands or falls on the truth of the incarnation. The Word became flesh. It speaks of the miracle of a sinless birth. Now, even though Jesus came into the world as all infants come into this world because he was birthed, came through the birth canal of Mary, the Holy Spirit tells us in the Word of God that he overshadowed Mary, and Christ was born of the seed of the woman. So the transmission of original sin was not with the Lord Jesus Christ. Every single one of us inherited something from our parents, and that's called sin. We inherited genetic traits from them, but more importantly, we inherited a sin trait from them. So every child that enters into this world is entering in as a sinner. Only Christ Jesus from conception was without sin. Galatians, Paul writes this, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Then there's also the miracle of the supernatural birth. The Bible account makes it very clear. From the garden to the manger, this was a supernatural birth. Now, I came across a story from Dr. Adrian Rogers. And Dr. Adrian Rogers went on home to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's one of my heroes in the pastorate. And he shared with some writings that I was reading about him, about a meeting with Muhammad Ali, of all people. And I want to share about his meeting with Muhammad Ali today. He says this, I prayed much about it, the meeting, meaning that. God arranged it where we could be together in a small room late at night before one of his fights. and we were talking about Jesus Christ. And he said, I had prayed much that in his heart this man might receive Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And he was studying at that time the Islamic faith. And so we were talking back and forth. And Muhammad Ali, he challenged me with this question. He says, you say that Jesus Christ is the Son of God because he was born of a virgin. He didn't have an earthly father. And then he said to me this, Adam didn't have a father or mother. Wouldn't that make him more of a son of God because he did not have a father or mother? I said, champ, I want you to understand this. Jesus was not the Son of God because he was born of a virgin. He was born a virgin because he was the Son of God. You see, Jesus did not have his start in Bethlehem. Amen? And he is not the Son of God because he was born of a virgin, but because he was the Son of God, he was born of a virgin. Amen? Boy, it speaks volumes to me when I read that. Let's look at the third thing here today, and let's talk about the marvels of Christmas. We've looked at the mysteries of Christmas. We've looked at the miracles of Christmas. Let's talk about the marvels of Christmas. Now, we'll go back to verse 14. Here's what it says. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Listen, that verse tells us that we have seen the glory of God through the one and only generation of his Son, Jesus Christ. Moses could not see God face to face and live. He was instructed of that. So God had to hide Moses in the cliff of the rock so he could see his glory. If we're going to see God's glory today, we have to be hidden in the rock of ages, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. For those who have trusted Jesus as Savior, you can behold his glory. You can behold the glory of God because we can behold the Son as God incarnated. Hebrews, the first chapter, verse 3. We've already read it. Let me read it again. Who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he himself had purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. The Holman Christian Study Bible translates that verse this way. He is in the radiance of his glory, the exact expression of his nature, and he sustains all things by his power, powerful word, and making purifications for our sin. He sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So let's talk about two specific things today and closing out today. We marvel at his beauty. I look at Jesus Christ and I marvel at all that he is. John uses two words back in the first chapter of John to give us a picture of Jesus Christ. He uses the word grace and he uses the word truth. Artists will tell you that all beautiful paintings, all beautiful artistry are made up of two things. Straight lines and curvy lines, curved lines. Friend, you have to have the right mixture of straight and curves to make something beautiful. And for us to have the right mixture to make God beautiful in our life, we have to understand that he represents grace and he represents truth. So can I share with you the truth today? The truth of it is this. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's the straight line, friend. That's the truth. There's not a person in this room here today that has not sinned and has come short of God's glory. Now, friend, there's also grace involved in that. The grace of God tells us that he is the Lamb of God, which appears or has appeared to take away the sins of the world. Can I combine these two together for you? Better yet, let me allow the Apostle Paul to combine grace and truth together. In his word, he writes this. He has been made sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. So grace and truth have to be combined together. That the Lord Jesus Christ, he represents both truth and grace. Sin is to be punished, but it can be forgiven and you can rise from the dead. So we see him, we see grace and truth. It's a beautiful picture. And we marvel at his many, many, many blessings. Let's read in verse 16, in 1 John, the 16th chapter. Go ahead and find that again. Here we go. And of his fullness we have received, and grace for grace. Now go back to verse 12. It tells us that as many as received him, he gave them the right to become the sons of God. Friend, can I be very clear today? If you're going to receive anything from God, it has to come from the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way. Paul says this in Colossians, the second chapter, verses 9 and 10. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You are complete in him who is the head of all principalities and powers. Let me share some the blessings, just a few of the blessings that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Sort of appetize these things a little bit today. We have an advocate with the Father when we sin, because he is Jesus Christ, the righteousness. He declares that he is the bread of life for the hungry soul. In the Bible, we're told that he is the chief cornerstone on which we build on. In the Bible, it declares that he is the deliverer that has come out of Zion. He is the one who gives us eternal life. He is the faithful and the true witness to every event in our life. The Bible tells us he is Emmanuel, God with us. In him is our hope. He is God and he is our hope. He is our I am, because he said this before Abraham was, I am. He is Jesus Christ, our Savior, because salvation is poured out abundantly through him. He is our Lamb of God, which appears to take away our sins, the sins of the world. He is the mighty one to save us. He is the only begotten of God, which means he is the only generation that God has ever put upon this earth that has the right to claim that he is God's only Son. He is the physician because he has been touched by our infirmities. He can heal us. He is our shepherd. He is always good and treats us well. He is called the Rose of Sharon because we can behold his beauty. He is our teacher because he teaches us in the ways of God. He is the unspeakable gift because he is the Word of God, and no word can define him completely. And he is ultimately our word from God. Amen. So, Christmas is about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about God revealing the Word to us. There's a mystery about Christmas, but you know, the fact of the matter is, it's hidden right in front of us. Pastor Matt shared a story about his son, his youngest son, I believe Titus, on a Sunday night, where his son plays hide and seek with him. And Titus will hide, like right here, just like this. And he thinks he's hidden. He's not hidden. I'm telling you, there's not a man or woman here today that Jesus Christ is really hidden from. He's hidden in plain sight. He speaks to us through his creation. He speaks to us through other people. He speaks to us through his word. The older I get, the more I can see God in everything. Everything. So, there's a mystery to Christmas, but God has hidden it right in plain sight for all of us. There's also this miracle of Christmas. Some of us count the miracle in Christmas as what we get, what we receive. No, it's not that. The miracle of Christmas is this child who took on human form, the Son of God, incarnated. That word incarnation literally means the enfleshment. No other child has ever been born the way that Jesus Christ has been born. And the marvel of Christmas is this: there's grace and there's truth in Jesus. Truth of the matter is, without Jesus, you won't make it to heaven. You may be a good moral person. You may be a person who does everything you think is right, but the Bible still says, without Jesus Christ, you can't make it to heaven. That's the truth. But the grace of it is this. Jesus stands ready to have a relationship with you, a personal relationship. He can establish it today simply by you willing to admit that you're a sinner, simply by you willing to say, Jesus Christ, come into my heart, forgive me my sin, and being willing to confess that, to share that with others. So today, as we stand, why don't you receive the greatest Christmas gift that has ever been given? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't trust your good works. Don't trust being a member of some congregation somewhere. Don't bank on anything else but Jesus. I've said this before and I'll say it again. I wouldn't trust the best 15 minutes I've lived in this life to get me into God's heaven. Because I know in me dwells nothing good. It is only through the Lord Jesus Christ I'll enter in. I long to see him. I know we celebrate this baby this time of year. But I tell you what, I don't see Jesus as a baby. I see him as my Savior. I see him at the right hand of God, making intercessions for me. When the accuser comes, and that's the devil, and says, you know what, he's no good, he's sorry, he's worthless, Jesus is there saying, up, he's one of mine. He does the same thing for you. And if you've not asked him to be your Lord and Savior, here's the real deal, friend. He's not saying that for you. He's not. So simply today, why don't you make that decision for Christ? Don't wait another Christmas. Don't wait for tomorrow. Do it today. Don't leave here today without having Jesus your Lord. Amen? Let's pray. Again, Father, we thank you. Thank you that Christmas is this revelation. You came to reveal yourself to us. And Father, everything that we can possibly humanly understand about you has been revealed through the Son. His grace, his truth, all those things, Father, come to us through Jesus Christ. Father, I pray today that if there's someone here, or maybe several people here, that have not made a decision for Christ, Lord, they've halted between maybe two opinions. Maybe they've know this is something they need to do, but they've not been willing to do it. I pray that today that the chains that bound them, the things that would hold them back, they would discard them and they would step to one of these aisles and come and receive Christ, the free gift that he stands ready to offer. So Lord, we pray that anything that would inhibit that today would be cast aside. It's just you and him here today. You're speaking to their heart, and we pray that they'll react in a positive manner. We ask these things in Christ's name, amen. All right, thank you again for your attention.